Apocalypse, Mr. Batman.
Who are you?
Your new lord and master. You may call me Darkseid.
Huddle up, B-ball bemmers, and watch me do a slam dunk of an opening. You're listening to Dark Side's Couch. I'm Mike.
This is James.
I'm Shay. That was great, like that. Mike.
Yes. Yeah. That's what happens when you put the pressure on.
Mm-hmm.
That like was nothing but net.
Yeah, there's the swish. As we've learned, from this book, the biggest thing you can do in basketball is the swish.
Mm-hmm. So I grew up in the country, right? Speaking of swish. Mm-hmm. And so because you grew up in the country, there's not the best dental hygiene. So growing up in school, sometimes they would pass around a cup of gross-tasting liquid, and you had to swish it around in your mouth and spit it back out, and then the school nurse would take all the dirty swish away. And it was called swish.
Why does this sound... I don't think I ever did this, but you say that, and something clicks in my brain, and I feel I did do it.
What?
Yeah, does that make sense?
They would make us
like rinse our mouths out at school because they were afraid we weren't doing it at home.
So in a communal, like a trough,
would be like a tray. Then the school nurse would pass around these cups with swish, and they would just interrupt our day with swish.
Oh, but you weren't all swishing into the same cup.
No, that would be some Viking shit. That would be
Swish a brand?
I don't know. It was just called swish because you swished it in your mouth. It could have been like mind control fluoride to like brainwash the kids before the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, because if you had well water or something, you probably didn't have fluoride. So that's an option. But I'm wondering if it was just mouthwash.
So most of us I've had mouthwash as an adult. That was not mouthwash.
Okay.
It was like drinking pond water.
This sounds familiar. Like. I think I've heard of this.
Are you sure you weren't part of MK Ultra?
So, I mean, I was one of the original Ritalin kids. Like, I was one of the first couple generations of that experiment of giving kids Ritalin. And then they stopped doing it.
Because of me.
I was one of the test kids. Where's my money for that? The drug companies owe me money for that shit. I should sue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll probably win. That's not that hard of a thing to do.
You think I should?
No, because you'll get crushed. You would get absolutely destroyed.
What if all I had to do was just like say, hey, they gave me Ritalin and Dexedrine and Adderall all throughout my childhood, and I would just talk to the judge?
There might be a class action. What, do you think the judge is going
to... No, I'll just have a stream of consciousness in front of that judge, and he'd be like, oh, man, that fucked you up.
Yeah, and then he'll take out his bong, and you just kind of like kick back a little bit. Like, what do you think? This isn't a jam sesh with the judge.
I mean, isn't that what they do to test to see if a drug, like a brain drug, ruined you?
Have you just babbled nonsensically to a judge?
Or just talk to him how I normally talk to everybody.
I don't know, man. I think your understanding of the legal system might be slightly flawed in this.
Well, they gave me brain drugs as a kid, James, and made me swish, and which destroyed my ability to think clearly.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, sure. Go for it. Let's go. I'll be your lawyer. I don't care.
No offense, Mike, but I think there were a lot worse things going on at your school.
I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there for the Dennis Hastert years.
The shockwaves were still felt.
I didn't even know about it until he went to jail for it.
Yeah, they're not going to, not going to put it in the school paper.
I mean, that's big news, though. The reporters who worked at my school paper were garbage. Yeah. I would have had jokes the entire time.
Also, that means that you weren't involved.
I would be roasting my teachers for knowing about it, not doing anything about it. It would be pretty controversial. They would have to write about it in the school newspaper.
Yeah. You know, speaking of gross things, Shay last time told me I can't make the gross wet splat sound anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, please.
And I said, well, I'm just going to come back with even grosser sounds this time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Shay actually said that was fine. So I don't have the wet sound. I do have, let's see what I've got instead. I've got queued up maybe some like oozy slimy sounds. That's got to sound good in your ear, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's a fun sound. How you feel about that, Shay?
Dude.
Better than the other sound?
Shay, you won't feel that way if I tell you what that sound sounds like to me.
How about this classic? You like that? You having a good time right in your ears?
Nope.
No? No?
That's fart, though.
Yeah.
It's still better than the other sound.
It's still better? A little bit. How about a little mouth noise? I know you like that. Chewing sounds? Oh, yeah. Good mastication going on there.
Mastication.
No? Is that still better?
Yeah.
Is that still better?
Yeah.
Right, how about this clip of Trump saying China?
China.
How's that?
How's that was not.
China.
No, it does. It sounds like someone doing a Michael Jackson impersonation.
We should keep that on the board for every time
someone
says
China. Sounds like Cartman.
Yeah.
If anyone ever says China in the comic book or if you and I say it, we should
China.
Play. Yeah, we should play that.
I got them on there. So, all right. So those are our new gross sounds, at least for the time being. What? You can't
You removed
that?
One.
China.
Oh.
China.
You pick. It's starting to sound like the creepy marshmallow from Homestar Runner.
Yeah. Oh, Marshy.
I have no idea. What are you guys talking about? Creepy marshmallow.
I can write a song called Stack of Legends.
You have to go in a deep dive for Homestar Runner if you're of the right age and you were on the internet at the right time. And go find out about Marshy the creepy marshmallow.
All right. I know what I'm doing later.
Yeah. He's great. I love that guy. Gross sounds. There's one other thing I wanted to hit. Last episode, we also talked about our childhood teddy bears. And we talked about my gorilla bird that I had.
Yeah.
And which Mike categorized as an abomination. And Shay helped me, and we actually went searching, and we found him, kind of. We found some pictures.
Good.
So we
Mike
found,
was not wrong.
Well, I guess we'll see. We'll put this up on the video, so if you're watching on Spotify or YouTube, you can see this, and you can see if you agree. I've got a couple pictures here. So there were small versions and big versions and different colored versions. I couldn't find the big version in the color that I had, but I found them separately. So I'll show you the little version. This is what he looked like. This is the right color.
That is not what I thought it was going to look like.
No. And I'll show you. This is what he actually was, only he was the brown color instead. So he looked like this.
So he's like a fuzzy penguin.
It's like a worry. They call it like a worry bird or something like that. And
that is not what I thought it was going to look like.
What were you expecting?
Like kind of like a monkey, like a monkey with a beak. A toucan beak though.
Right. You know, he has kind of a gorilla's body, but he's got a cone head.
And you're right. He smokes
and he's got a cigar and he's got a hole in his beak.
He doesn't have a cigar.
Oh,
he's got a pipe. I keep calling it a cigar. Yeah.
You're supposed to know the differences between those things now? That was made illegal.
Yeah, smoking is gross.
That is a crime now, punishable by death, Shay.
Yeah, you can't be smoking anymore. I ordered a Zima, not emphysema, as The Simpsons once said. But yeah, that was this was what I clung to at night. He was probably about 18 inches tall, and he's like a triangular-shaped bird, but he's got long gorilla arms and gorilla fingers and a beak. And he's holding a pipe that you could stick in a hole in his beak so that he could smoke his pipe. And that's what I sidled up to as a kid.
How hard were the plastic parts?
They were pretty hard. I seem to recall them being pretty...
That's what you slept with? You slept with this hard plastic?
Yeah.
That can't be good.
Do you want to see mine?
Yes.
Oh, you got yours?
Yeah, I've got Kitty right next to me.
Yeah, okay.
You still have it?
Yes. We will we'll put this on the...
My dad made me burn video. It when I got bad grades.
Holy shit!
No, I'm kidding.
Nice.
I'm kidding.
Oh! Because I would have believed it. That's where we are.
No. We'll, show Kitty. Show Kitty. And I will show that Kitty. And so, as you'll notice, and again, we'll put some pictures up, Kitty has seen some days. Kitty does not look how Kitty used to look because I believe Kitty was in the washing machine a bunch of times as a kid.
No, this happened after one time. It's since been in the washing machine multiple times.
Yeah.
But this look, this appearance is after one time.
Kitty was a floofy kitty and now matted fur.
So matted.
Hates his own existence. Praise
no, he does not. You take that back.
Wants
you
just
fucking
a sweet release.
Take it back.
He's doing his best.
No, you take it back. He is a happy boy. We're not moving forward. Take it back.
When we as kids love our stuffed animals, do you think like we give it a little soul?
Yes.
And that's why we're able to love it so much.
Yes.
Like an
and
actual...
James just insulted my baby soul.
No, like Kitty and I are doing a bit.
Through like the creed, just by like
loving your stuffed animal, all that emotion and energy has got to go somewhere, right?
I guess. And you think that that becomes a soul? Yeah,
maybe. Maybe.
Like, I almost played the sound effect earlier, but I thought it was a little too obvious that Mike was token up. He was bonging up over there. I don't know, man. Maybe that is what a soul is. Maybe a soul is a child's laughter.
Yeah, maybe. Yep.
That was our childhoods. We should probably talk about this comic and why we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. It's Jay Miller's birthday, so happy birthday, Jay Miller.
Happy birthday, Jay Miller.
And if you've enjoyed the goofy, cartoony dark side that you've seen on our logo and that we've put into various other scenarios over the years, that's from Jay.
Mm-hmm.
He's sent us a bunch of great art over the years. And
he may have changed dark side just enough for us not to get sued.
Much appreciated. I can't think of a bigger waste of talent than using your actual skills to make logos for this fucking podcast, but hey.
I'll take it.
I disagree,
and it's amazing, and you should keep doing it. It'll help you go to heaven.
Yeah, seriously, and I've said this before, keep sending us stuff. Even if you're not talented, we'll just say you are. Like, Jay's an exception. Jay's actually talented, but it doesn't matter. We'll say you are. We'll tell everybody that you're a gifted artist.
You're going to give everyone a complex.
Yeah, whatever. And everyone's going to give me a subscribe.
There you go.
That's a fair trade.
You won the day with that.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Today's book is Godzilla versus Charles Barkley.
Yeah. So this came about as a tie-in from Dark Horse Comics, by the way, which was maybe the first time we looked at Dark Horse Comics. I don't know.
It's quite possible.
I don't know really what, because I read Dark Horse Comics as a kid, but I really don't know what their identity is, because it seemed like they did licensed stuff, they did adult stuff, they were kind of all over the map.
I only knew about Dark Horse from just reading Hellboy comics.
Hellboy, The Mask.
Yeah, Mask.
Read The Mask. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This would set you back $2.95 back in 1993.
But they're paying their writers.
They were paying their writer. Probably they probably were. They're probably getting a decent rate. And the writer. There's a weird issue with the writing credits here.
Okay. Sorry, I saw, I caught what you were talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? Okay, yeah. I don't think Mike caught it.
No.
Oh, we'll get to that in a minute.
We got to dissect this cover, though.
To give some context as to why this is even happening is in 1993, Nike put out a 30-second commercial for Charles Barkley. Because Charles Barkley had like a new shoe line. Or he was their new guy or whatever. And they decided, hey, how about we have a commercial where he plays basketball against Godzilla? And they did it. And it was a big smash deal for some reason.
I remember it.
I do not.
Well, you should go check it. It's not, I don't think it's really all that impressive in retrospect. It was at the time, I guess. I was surprised because I kind of assumed there was like a 9-minute full movie version of it somewhere.
No, it's just
and there's
a
not.
Short thing.
It's just a 30-second commercial. That's all there is.
Yeah.
So weird. Things were so much more innocent back then.
I guess.
Well, you say that, but it looks like fucking Godzilla is vomiting jizz at Charles Barkley.
He's got Spider-Man webs.
Coming out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And he's been doing just fine.
This was because they probably didn't want to have it look like fire or bile. So they're just like, just paint it white so it looks like water. But no, that shit's toxic.
Yeah, Mark was like, he's spitting at me.
Yeah, because he wouldn't swish.
That's where the swish comes from.
Oh, God. Yep.
Godzilla. Godzilla's poisoning our children in 1989.
Fluoride comes from Godzilla.
That's right, dude.
Yep.
Fluoride.
And when we run out of that Godzilla fluoride, we're all fucked.
That's not jizz, it's fluoride.
James, you accuse me of saying high things. That's the highest thing I'm probably going to say. Shay saying fluoride comes from Godzilla. And I go, that's right, dude.
Yeah. Shay's probably pretty baked herself.
I've been sober all day. I don't know what happened.
Good on you.
So, yeah, Charles Barkley. Apparently, Shay doesn't know the difference between Charles Barkley and Shaq.
I was about to admit that. Yeah.
Shay thinks all athletes look alike.
No.
That's if you have a dark size couch shirt. All athletes look alike.
They kind of do with their muscles.
Yeah, they're so
gross.
Big
muscles. Stupid.
Every time I've thought of something in my head that I thought was attributed to Charles Barkley, like James's book.
Shaq Track Attack.
It has been Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if I know what Charles Barkley has actually done because of that.
He played for the Phoenix Suns.
Did not know that.
Which we've established is Krypton's favorite team. They love Suns. They love the Suns.
Oh.
Big fan.
So Charles Barkley is an NBA basketball player who, like, if you make it to the NBA, you're a great basketball player.
Right.
But he just talked so much shit and, like,
yeah, he did.
He beat people up. Like, he was famous for that. He was famous for being Charles Barkley.
Okay.
Yeah, he was pretty, he was a little Barkley. He was very Barkley.
Was he in Space Jam?
Yes.
I think he had a cameo. I think he had a cameo in it. Yeah, he is talked about running for governor of Alabama.
I'll vote for him. Let's go.
Hasn't happened. This was like years ago, and then I think he kind of lost interest.
Barkley.
In it.
Yeah. Maybe he's building a base.
Yes. he's gonna get it going. Another decade or so. Well, he's like 60. So yeah. I think
so. He's got another 15 years before he has to start running for office.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time. Leo, nice long a long track for that. Notice who gets top billing here. Godzilla.
Right.
King
yeah.
of the Monsters. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that was a debate. I wonder if he was
probably.
Very adamant that, like, no, it's supposed to be, it should be Barkley versus Godzilla.
Well, I mean, Barkley got his shoe money.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
I don't think I doubt they even told him they were making a comic.
Yeah, Godzilla didn't get paid shit for this.
No, he's not
they
real.
Just trotted him out.
Things that aren't real don't make money.
Well, I mean,
he just got his day rate.
Yeah, I'm looking at him. I mean, he's
Godzilla Minus One just won an Oscar.
Godzilla Minus One is a movie?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And just won an Oscar.
For what? For like costumes or something? Or set design? Well, good for that thing I'd never heard of before.
Isn't that weird?
They're still making them. Still cranking them out.
They're still making them. And they're winning awards. Like, they're winning Academy Awards.
This came out in 1993, and it's written by our boy Mike Barron.
Yay! All right, that's like, two. How many in a row is
this
that?
Is two in a row, but three over the past, like, six episodes. Although, in fairness, they're all very different, so they give him credit for that.
The wheel likes Mike Barron stuff, and I guess our people
enjoy
the show who request comics
enjoy
also.
Mike Barron. There's another one on the wheel, so it could come up again. There's a Punisher, yeah. Art by Jeff.
Oh, that would be so sweet.
We'll see. Art by Jeff Butler and Keith Akin. But here's the deal. Here's the weird thing is that there's actually another credit. Mike Barron is credited with the script, but the plot is credited to Alan Smithy.
Oh, good old Alan Smithy.
All right, who's that?
So Alan Smithy is a fake name that the Directors Guild used to. It's not really used anymore, but back in the day, if a director was so embarrassed or ashamed or unhappy with the movie they were making, they could ask the DGA to put Alan Smithy on in place of their name so they weren't associated with it.
Oh, I see.
It's like using John Doe.
When you see that, and again, they don't really use it anymore because the cat's out of the bag, everybody kind of knows about it, but the idea was, you know, now if you were kind of in the know, you see that name, you go, oh, this is a piece of shit that somebody wanted to be disassociated from. But that's in Hollywood. This is a comic book. And so I don't know if this was somebody just being cheeky or if there really was somebody involved with this book that said, no, man, like, let's not put my name on this. I don't know.
This is a very dumb plot. This is an incredibly, incredibly dumb plot.
Well, how so?
I guess we'll find out. You know, I think the Alan Smithy thing, I think that was Mike Barron.
Well, I was going to say, I wouldn't want this attributed to me in terms of plot.
I think this is Mike Barron being funny. Like, letting people know that he's aware that this is a piece of shit.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've talked, like, whether or not his more conservative leanings are legitimate or if he just does it to get by. But this is definitely something he did just to get by.
I don't know. If I was a comic book writer and someone asked me if I was willing to write Godzilla versus Charles Barkley, I'd be like, absolutely.
They don't say, do you want to write Godzilla versus Charles Barkley? They say, do you want to write a tie-in for this commercial within these very specific boundaries that we're going to set out for you?
Here are a bunch of thousands of dollars.
Yes, that's what I'd be thinking.
Please.
That's the part you're not saying, James.
I don't think he made thousands of dollars for this comic book.
He might have.
Yeah.
I mean, Nike's fitting the bill, right?
I don't know. I guess. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it has to be coming from Nike, but...
Well, I mean, they own the commercial.
Right. I don't know.
Their logo's on the cover.
Mm-hmm. We all agree that Nike's affiliated with this comic book.
Right. We're in agreement.
We're in agreement. The art is actually pretty decent, I have to say, for the most part, with the exception of some weird hands and things. The art is actually fairly...
It's made by AI.
Yeah. It does look a little AI-y. It does have a little bit of
AI.
You guys are dumb.
That's fun. I like that. So we open up in the commercial. This takes place in Tokyo, but here they moved it to California.
It's more plausible because Charles Barkley lives in America.
Or he's fought Godzilla twice. That could have happened.
What if they went over the script of Charles Barkley and he's reading it and he's in Japan? He goes, I'm not going to Japan. And they're like, no. No, it's just in the story. You're not actually going to Japan.
But I don't want to go to Japan.
I ain't going. I'm going to be in California. They're like, oh, all right.
They had to change the plot because he didn't understand how fiction works.
I think what they did was they moved it to California because they didn't want to have the sideways triangles around all the word bubbles.
Yeah.
To let you know, it was Japanese.
Well,
we
call
English.
Them carrots. I like that you call them sideways triangles, though.
Yeah, sideways triangles.
Sideways triangles, even though they only have two sides.
Well, I didn't know what else to call them. Arrows.
They're carrots.
I didn't. Well, they don't look like carrots have bottoms too.
All right. Sure. They're sideways arrows. They're sideways arrows to make it a little easier.
They're stealth bombers. Those little stealth bombers on the side of the word bubbles.
Well, there's a lot of weird things going on in Asia.
China.
It still does not sound like him.
Are you doubting the president?
China.
You're not. It's so marshy. Sorry, I'm just creeped out because it's so marshy. Not grossed out, just creeped out. It's
that's
fun.
Shit, that's our president.
It's
China.
Well, it's fun because it's you have to edit this later.
Yeah.
That's why I'm just hitting as many buttons as I can. Yeah, I'll probably vote for president.
I'll vote for president.
I'll vote for someone. Barkley, maybe. I don't know. Godzilla. Both these are great candidates. Mike Barron, Alan Smithy. I'll vote for any of them.
I love all these RFK guys. RFK Jr., because everyone seems to get mad when I say that.
Nah,
and that's
it.
How you should base your vote.
That is 100% how I
that is how
vote.
That is how you should have a based vote, Shay.
That's right. You vote for whoever everybody else is. If everyone is mad at who you're saying, then that's the person to vote for.
The fuck?
Maybe we'll get lucky and your vote is vital. We'll come up on the wheel next time and we can
really
that
be nice?
Actually yeah.
Get
onto
this and it'll become a rally for RFK Jr.
We'll record at RFK Jr.
Your vote is vital when voting independent.
All right. So in this story,
AKA libertarian.
In this story, there's a ship. It's a Japanese ship, I believe. Yeah, and they're sailing close to California.
And they're a sailing ship. They're like a shipping vessel that's bringing cars.
Are they bringing cars?
Yeah, it took me like three readings of the page before I was able to put that together.
So they
but
don't
Mike
tell you
right.
Yet. You have to wait for Godzilla to destroy the boat, and then there's a bunch of cars everywhere.
Yeah.
Huh. It's funny because as Godzilla is threatening to attack, or they think he might be attacking, one of the crewmen says like, oh, that might be Godzilla. And this guy goes, silence, it's bad luck to even mention his name. We're modern men. We do not believe in the old legends. But you just said a second ago it's bad luck to even mention his name, so it kind of seems like you do.
And he also said, like, my father saw him. Like, it's not a legend. His dad saw Godzilla.
I witnessed this shit.
That, like Japan was devastated by Godzilla, like, in less than a generation.
I mean, you don't know if his dad was a liar.
That entire generation was a liar.
Clearly, he
actually
wasn't.
Yeah, we've got a lot of generations that are just liars. But no, this time they were telling the truth because what do you know? Godzilla shows up and he rips this whole ship in half.
And there's cars falling off.
Yeah, there are cars flying all over the place.
So I just assumed they were bringing in cars. But they didn't need to add the cars at all.
It just adds in a confusing element. I guess it looks cool, all these cars raining down. You know,
like if they were drawing this, they're just like, hey, add some cars. They go, why? Because they're shipping cars. Like, is that necessary for the plot? You're like, no.
And it looks like a bridge has been broken.
What if he just learned how to draw cars?
Vroom, vroom.
He realized he wasn't going to get enough opportunities to draw cars in this. What if he just thought to himself, I really like cars. Can I draw cars in it? They go, well, yeah, you can. He goes, yeah.
What if the guy was a car and he just really wanted to represent his people?
That's like why 40% of the people get into comics is they like fast cars.
Mm-hmm. They
vroom,
learned how to draw cars that when they were young and they just wanted to, like, you know what? This is my career.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing that those artists like to draw is sexy babes and hunky dudes.
Mm-hmm.
As we flash over to the beach. Yeah, we flash over to the beach and we meet our
but
star.
We got some good Nike placement again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's wearing Nikes. We've got this kid, Matthew, and he's dragging his grandfather along who can't walk very fast because of the thritis, probably. And they're going to go see Charles Barkley, who's making an appearance.
Right, I'm sorry, this is off topic. Speaking of sexy babes and dudes and whatnot, sure. You think that's what, like, you think when people look back and they think, wow, the Jim Lee run of X-Men, you know, because it's like one of the best selling comic books of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, is that all that was, though? Was just like Jim Lee hypersexualizing his characters and teenage boys buying the comics?
You know, I haven't read those books in so long, but yeah, probably.
Like, it feels like that now that I look back on it all.
I don't know if they really aged. Me. Yeah, they probably didn't age super well after all this time.
I can't imagine. But, you know, people swear by him.
I mean, that was the entire 90s speculator boom. Like, I remember, you know, Evangeline and Witchblade and Lady Death.
Yeah, number ones. They purposely made more number ones because it meant that collectors would try to buy it.
If we have some listeners who were a bit more adult in the 90s, if they can let us know if they also read the Sexy Lady comics.
Mm. Yeah, how good were those Sexy Lady comics?
Yeah, were they actually any good, or were you just a horny child?
Was Alan Moore writing Sexy Lady comics in the 90s? I don't seem to recall that, but...
Yeah, he's never not been. Like, there's always... He's always got one in the furnace.
So as they're going to the beach to see Charles Barkley, they're passing by, you know, sexy dames and hunky dudes, and there's a ripped Conan O'Brien walking by. Pretty cool. He's looking nice there.
That's a lot of work, man.
That does look exactly like Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, that's ripped Conan. Yeah, you can't get that, especially if you're really tall. Like, that's what I've learned. And, like, the taller you are, you can't get that kind of ripped.
No, you don't want to.
No.
That's like, you're not meant to you're not meant to carry all that around all the time.
It's just too much work.
Too much fucking work. Man, I've been in a workout slump lately. I have been fucking over it.
Yeah, well,
I gotta get back into it.
Get your beginner gains like all over again, the entire cycle.
My newbie gains? Mm. Fuck yeah.
Yeah,
dude,
that's the best part. Yeah.
It also encourages you to continue.
It does, and then you get diminishing returns, and you never see any gains again.
I'm happy with that. That first gains. Once I hit that point, I'm good. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'll just maintain this.
So they're making their way down to shoot. I guess they were shooting. I don't know what they were shooting with Charles Barkley, but something on the beach.
It looks like they were just like making a commercial about Charles Barkley talking to people.
Yeah, just having a good time on the beach. Sure.
I'm Charles Barkley, and I'm here with these people, and that's it. It just, like, the camera's just on him with the people behind him, and he's just dead-eyed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the people he's talking with are fucking freaks. Look at this crowd.
Yeah.
There's some sort of angry warlord witch guy in the back.
He looks like Matt Pike from High on Fire. I'll compare the. You guys don't know, but
nope.
Like, when I compare the two on the video, they'll know.
I will see. And then there looks like some sort of, like, child version of Mike Tyson.
Yes, that's Mike Tyson Jr.
Oh, yeah, that
cards, like,
absolutely does look like Mike Tyson,
dude. He's gonna kill that YouTuber, that Jake Paul guy who challenged him to a fight. Mike Tyson's gonna tear his head off. Like, are you
kidding
me?
Mike Tyson's gonna fight again,
dude. Mike Tyson is getting paid like millions of dollars to fight Jake Paul, that YouTube guy, the YouTube boxer. Dude, Mike Tyson's gonna, like, okay, like, all joking aside, like, yeah, all right, fight these has-been boxers. But, like, no, you don't fight Mike Tyson. He's, like, he's a killer. Like, he's gonna kill this guy.
He is literally a psychopath.
Dude, he's 60 years old, and he's gonna murder this child who's, like, 40 years younger than he is. He's gonna tear his head clean off.
Maybe he's getting paid to take a little bit of a fall.
Well, I mean, most likely that's all of Jake Paul's opponents were paid to take a fall. But
would Tyson do that? I don't know.
No,
Tyson got some integrity.
He would tell him and take the money and then kill him in the ring.
I was about to say he would yes and that shit and then still do it.
He's gonna, like, because they're gonna be building the fight, so they're gonna be talking shit to each other back and forth. Mike Tyson is gonna forget that they're just trying to build heat for the fight, and he's gonna take some shit personally, and he's gonna kill Jake Paul in that ring.
He might literally murder a man.
Did you guys ever watch Mike Tyson Mysteries?
Yeah,
no, that cartoon. There's a scene in there where Norm MacDonald as the pigeon is going, like, "Hey, sometimes I forget that that's Mike Tyson. Like, he'll kill us." I'm like, yeah, 100%.
He's a madman. All right. So Matthew's trying to get up to the front of the line to talk to Charles Barkley. Doesn't really make any sort of case about why he needs to talk to Charles Barkley, but he's very adamant that he has to.
He's just being very entitled.
You know what? He needs to check his privilege on this. He has no right to talk to Charles Barkley.
He explains it's because he's Barkley's biggest fan.
He might be, though.
Yeah, he might be. Nobody really checked it.
I imagine if you are Barkley's biggest fan and he won't see you, I can imagine that being really frustrating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like, before we go away too far, so in the top right panel where we're at right now, look at the size of that dude's dick.
Wow, yeah.
Like the guy in the purple pants?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. He is.
Holy jeez.
Bulging for miles.
Good for you.
Well, in fairness, also, the more you hike your pants up, the bigger that bulge becomes.
That guy went to work knowing his dick was popping out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, again, he's hiking it, too. Like, the pants are high-waisted pants.
What if, like, they were drawing this, and he goes, I'm going to give this guy a big dick. Fuck this comic.
Yeah, and then you got this other dude who's kind of eyeballing it and playing a little pocket pool while he watches.
He's like, nice. Holy jeez.
Holy shit. I'll be back in a minute. I got to go to the latrine.
Just distracted. Yeah.
What if the kid's just like, I need to talk to Charles Broccoli. Jeez.
And he runs smack into it.
Knocks him out.
Like a brick wall. Like Wile E. Coyote running into a brick wall.
I want to point out, so the kid gets shot, like shoot away. And then the kid goes back to the grandpa. The grandpa says, oh, what's wrong? And the kid's like, they acted like I was John Hinckley or something. I was about to say, this kid is maybe, let's say 13.
Yeah, this
let's
kid's
say
unhinged.
Maybe 13. And this is 1993. And John Hinckley was in 1981. Yeah. So this kid is referencing something that happened that was what? At maximum 4 years old?
So he is going to California. So the school system was probably really good back then.
Yeah, he's just very educated.
Wait, check my math there. I think I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think it would be like zero at the time. I don't know why you came up with a four, but regardless.
From his perspective, that's the last time someone tried to kill the president.
And maybe he's just a big fan of John Hinckley.
I mean, aren't we all?
Heck, like I was my hero, John Hinckley, or something.
Go buy
his album.
I mean,
that is the last time somebody tried to kill a president.
He got out of jail and like wrote an album.
But it's not the last time somebody tried to kill a vice president.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, because January 6th. That doesn't count. That doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count.
That was a psyop. I don't believe that.
Based Mike Pence went to work anyway. he and I may never agree on anything else, but him saying, like, you know what? When you believe in something, it's really easy to believe in it when nobody's threatening you. But when people are actually threatening to hang you, that's the time you really need to dig your heels in on your shit. And he did it.
Yeah, well, he was probably in on it.
Yeah, he probably got a little something for it.
Like,
a little taste.
You know, the CIA is just like, hey, we're going to make you look great. Just stay at work. But nothing's going to happen.
All right. So anyway, his grandpa tells him, like, all right, well, here's the deal. Apparently his grandpa had some career as a pitcher.
We don't know what the New York elite is.
Yeah, it's probably a minor league team.
Yeah, he pitched
or
a no-hitter against
yeah, or school. Yeah. And he says he was able to do it because he had a magic silver dollar.
Yeah, he mentions, I have a magic silver dollar. It has magical properties. Kind of covered by calling it a magic silver dollar.
Yeah. Yeah, then, idiot.
Yeah, you fucking moron. So, yeah, he says this magic silver dollar is why he won. He pitched a no-hitter against some shitty team way back in the day.
He also calls it the Morgan in some way. He says that there Morgan is special.
Well, yeah, let's look up what Morgan means.
Well, it's explained in a couple pages.
What's the term for a coin collector? It's a, what's that term?
Nerd?
Coin collector. Nerd. Fuck you. Coins are awesome. Coin collector is called a numismatist? No, that can't be right.
Numismatist? Yeah,
numismatist.
Numismatist? Oh, look at Shay being smart.
That can't be right. Shay's, ain't right.
No, you're thinking of coin boy. That's what you were thinking of.
All right, anyway, so yeah, they're walking away, and he's flipping this coin they just stole from his grandpa.
No, his grandpa gave it to him because it has magical properties.
Yeah, because he's a
good
boy.
What if that
boy.
Was the thing that was keeping him alive, and he, like, gives his grandson the coin, and the magic's, like, his heart stops beating. He should have died 10 years ago.
And he refuses to give it back because he's a psychopath like John Hinckley. Slang.
Well, no, the kid's trying to give it back to him, but it's too lazy or he's dead.
Just putting on his corpse.
And just like putting his hand and like closing his hand. He goes, come on, Grandpa. Tell me more about the time you played baseball.
As if anyone has ever cared what any grandpa has ever had to say in terms of their weird rambling
stories.
Oh,
he loves his granddad, bro. I don't want to hear anything against it.
Well, he doesn't seem to have parents. So
no,
that's
he
probably
he's just
sad.
Out. He's just out and about with granddad.
Yeah,
Mom
he
and dad
might
are
just
working.
Be out hanging out. Yeah.
They gotta make a living for their son.
Pretty sure he's an orphan.
No.
His parents were probably killed by Godzilla.
I'm pretty sure his grandpa kidnapped him.
I think that he would have a little bit more of a PTSD reaction if he...
Sometimes that stuff is not obvious.
Son, it's remember subtle. That time I told you that I was your grandfather? Well, let me tell you the real story. When you were a baby, I stole you from the hospital. I was working as a janitor. I wanted a son of my own.
A little bouncing baby boy, and now I got him.
So we.
Why do you sound like Bing Crosby?
So as he's saying, he goes, in air quotes, he goes, so we moved to California.
Pretty quickly
to avoid the law. Well, thanks for being straight with me, Granddad. No problem, son. Here's a magical coin. He does that in quotes. Here's a magic coin.
I want to be angry with you, but you're a straight shooter. I'm going to let you off the hook.
That's what happened to Ric Flair. Like, he was like a swapped baby at a hospital. And
no, he was stolen.
Oh.
He was stolen, right?
He was stolen
right,
by
right.
this lady that essentially created adoption.
Wow. Dude.
But she was a piece of shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, Ric Flair.
I would essentially like say, here, I'll take care of your baby. And then they would just like sell the baby.
Dude, sell that baby.
There's a great behind the bastards about it.
Yeah, and she couldn't ball for shit.
No.
Terrible baller.
Fucking short as hell.
That's what happened to these poor Japanese sailors that are now.
Yeah.
So they're beaching.
They're washing up on the beach.
Oh, thank you. Washing up is what I meant to say. I said
close
beaching
enough.
Like they're waves.
Yeah.
And so the kid runs up and there's, by the way, oh dude, there's a buff lifeguard.
That
back
guy,
there.
He shouldn't even be out there. He should be in the gym to maintain all that.
Just be a model. What are you doing, a lifeguard?
Dude.
It doesn't make. I don't really understand.
That's
why
not, dude. When I was in Hawaii, I went to Hawaii, and the lifeguards, every lifeguard there was just jacked to the gills.
I don't understand.
You went to Hawaii?
I went to Hawaii like years and years and years ago.
Oh my god, Mr. Rich fucking bitch over here.
There's a super long story behind it too, and I don't want to get into it.
All right,
sweet. Yeah, we don't like to get into unrelated stories on this show.
No, it'd be too long and it'd be too personal. It's like I'm not telling that story.
Yeah,
that's fine.
We'll do a sub podcast for that.
I just wanted to point it out because you guys always call me Rich, and I've never been to Hawaii.
Oh well, hell, Shane, hell.
Like,
there's
fuck.
A whole part of my life you have no idea that went on, and
yeah. So they
just,
check in on.
Now
all right, Shay.
Now I'm just picturing Danny DeVito in It's Always Sunny in the flashback episode where he's just in Colombia dealing out cocaine.
Yeah.
For years and years and years.
Yeah, dude, I've worn many hats.
Mm-hmm. So they run up to this dude who's dying on the beach, and he says, yeah, Godzilla's coming, by the way. You're probably going to want to evacuate the coast. He tends to destroy things.
They're like, Godzilla's not even real.
You stupid idiot.
He's like,
get back in the water.
His shaky, broken arm like reaches out to the kid. Goes, I'm pretty sure.
I'm also not sure how he got a black eye. Is he implying that Godzilla punched him?
Probably from being in the pressure of being in the ocean.
Yeah, anything could have hit him in the face.
Yeah, a piece of that car.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, yep, that does happen.
Can you imagine you fall in the water and then the car lands on you?
Ooh.
Man.
Well, I don't know how it would land on you. I mean, you're in the water.
Well, you hit the water and the car hits you.
Yeah,
I remember hearing about the rugby plane that went down that Alive was based on.
Oh yeah,
where they had to like eat each other.
Mm-hmm. Alive.
I remember hearing that one of the guys survived the plane crash, and then like slipped in snow and then just disappeared.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine
that
surviving
sucks.
A fucking plane crash and then? Just slipping and dying.
Yeah, that would suck.
Especially because he was probably the most delicious.
Yeah,
he
would have
been.
Him.
Oh, he would have tasted so good.
Yeah, all that good
man.
Ass meat.
Boo.
Yeah, when you drop the best piece of chicken on the kitchen floor.
Hey,
shit,
you guys
are wrong and disgusting.
You know, even but because they're eating people, like they're still getting scurvy. Like,
yeah, I mean it's not a great solution.
Like every
yeah, they weren't super healthy when they got found, Mike.
No, I found out like scurvy is like when. Because, like, your scars are never truly healed, and vitamin C keeps them together. And if you don't get vitamin C, all your scars, internal and external, open up.
Wow. Yeah.
Dude, scurvy sounds terrible.
Scurvy sounds terrible.
Fuck.
Terrible.
Pretty much anything that will kill you sounds pretty terrible.
Dude. Not interested in any of that.
No.
Get
Good
your
luck
vitamin
with
C.
All that.
Rather die by Godzilla.
Like,
out of the ocean.
He just tears open the vitamin C packets and just starts chugging it when he sees Godzilla.
So Godzilla pulls himself out of the ocean and starts stomping his way onto the beach. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid gets in. He's about to get in his car with Grandpa. He says, no. I'm going to take this silver dollar. I know that I can use this to fight Godzilla.
Yep, and right. He goes, Charles Barkley!
His grandpa says, you aren't ready to take on Godzilla.
Yeah, like...
a couple years from now, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. He hasn't got the magic coin. Maybe his grandfather was the guy who beat Godzilla last time.
Oh, somebody
actually. Maybe this kid likes to argue, and he just knew that it was going to start a fight if he told him no.
Oh, you mean a little kid is a fucking prick all the time? Yeah, that seems very feasible.
You know, him saying, Matthew, you aren't ready to take on Godzilla does hint to the fact that
the coin could help him.
The grandpa with the magic coin sometime in the past like had to deal with Godzilla. Like, how else is he able to judge that?
He knows something about Godzilla, sure.
Man, I want the prequel to this, but the grandfather, he pitches the perfect game and then has to fight Godzilla.
Well, Mike Barron's been working on this for decades on the
I'm
prequel.
Sure it'll be out soon.
Yeah, it's going to be a tome.
The best part of this comic book are the sound effects that Godzilla makes. The skrunks and the skroots and the gronks and the flomp and the, like, they're wonderful. That's the best part of this.
You know, speaking of that, Shay, so, like, it looks like he's not yelling out Barkley. It looks like that's, like, what's happening because he's going after Barkley. Barkley, like the Barkley theme music starts.
You're right.
Oh, it's like the words in the Batman 66. It's a pow bang onomatopoeia.
You
Barkley.
Know what I'm saying? Like he jumps, like he runs off with the coin, lands on his skateboard, and he goes Barkley.
Yeah, and so he thinks that combined with this magic silver dollar, Charles Barkley can somehow beat Godzilla.
And as he's skateboarding, the girl next to him also thinks this comic book looks a little AI-y.
She's yelling AI.
Bravo.
That's a visual joke. That's a good one. And also one of the other dudes is exceedingly hairy, by the way.
That's Danzig.
Wolverine.
What's going on there?
Yeah. There's Danzig enjoying the beach.
It's James. It's James in high school.
That's a little bit. Well, I didn't have that much musculature. I had James, the hair.
I was going to say, James, I'd fuck you. Jeez.
No, I wasn't looking that good yet. And the kid mentions that Charles Barkley is Earth's greatest warrior, which is apparently a known thing.
Because he beats guys up in the NBA.
Well, this was at the time, in fairness, and I've seen speculation that this was a little cheeky joke because at the time, Charles Barkley was doing the I'm not a role model campaign. Like, that was his whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a role model. And so that may have been a kind of thing of, like, you know, playing it up for funsies. I don't know.
Yeah. I like how I said, oh, yeah, like I knew what that was. Yeah. I didn't.
Okay. You know, saying I'm not a role model, that wouldn't fly today.
No, well, I mean, that's what, like, Joe Rogan tries. It doesn't work. Like, you can't
fly.
Just...
Yeah, you, like... Yeah, like, they'll cancel you for shit, for real. Like, you, like, you can't say that.
That you're not a role model.
Yeah, just be like, you fuck up and you do something horrible, and you're like, people look up to you, and you're like, I'm not a role model. It's like, man, you're canceled.
Well, it's kind of what everybody wants to be influential, and so, you know, that's... I don't know. That's the other side of that.
It seems like everyone's an influencer now. So, yeah, if you're influencing people and you call yourself one, I guess you do have to be a role model.
I mean, it's kind of the right thing to do. If you want to be a good steward of the world, if millions of people are paying attention to what you're saying and doing, like, maybe you're not legally obligated to be a role model, but you probably should be.
I mean, that's probably a good way out, though, when you're Charles Barkley and you toss a guy through a window or whatever, and you're like, I'm not a role model. Fuck you. Like, yeah, I guess own it.
Well, in fairness, why should a basketball player be a role model? You're just a basketball player. You're not a leader of any sort. Like,
he's supposed to be Earth's greatest warrior. I think this is because there was no UFC yet.
Yeah, that's probably it.
The brief wiki review that I did like 5 minutes ago did mention something about him saying that athletes shouldn't be role models.
He's kind of right. You're supposed to be like a Viking when you're playing sports.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't correlate to doing anything that's necessarily great for society.
Like, how do you turn off that killer instinct you need to play professional sports? How do you turn that off with your life? I'd imagine that's just who you become.
I imagine it's who you are to get to that point in the first place.
You know, just competitive and kind of violent.
Yeah. In the 90s in Detroit, you know, that was the big time for hockey in Detroit. And so... The Red Wings hockey team in the 90s was just, they just went over to Russia and just got a bunch of giant Russian dudes and put them on the team.
Awesome. Good thinking.
And the team was just, the team was just these giant, like, 6'4 thugs.
Awesome.
That were just bashing the hell out of people.
That's how you win games, James.
Yeah. Well, and it gets them off the streets, off those off Russian streets. Yeah.
And I wouldn't know anything about that because during the 90s, we had Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, and no one cared about hockey because we were winners.
They throw some shade at the Bulls, actually, in this book.
That's true.
Yeah. They shit on the Bulls a little bit.
I was in Georgia both when the Braves were fucking killing it.
Yeah, no one knows any of those players. Everyone knows Jordan. Everyone knows the Bulls.
And when the Olympics came through.
I can name the players from that team because it's so ingrained in the culture.
And he gave us this.
Stop it. Get some help.
Yep. The thing he's most famous for.
The steakhouse.
Yeah. Oh, no. How about
no, that
Hitler,
McDonald's?
Hitler mustache.
Hitler mustache on the airplane.
McDonald's.
What did he do for McDonald's? What Hitler iconic look did he steal for that commercial?
All right. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. So we're going to continue
boom,
on.
Boom, wham, whoop, whoosh, grunk.
So, all of these military planes and things are attacking Godzilla, and Matthew is saying, those aren't going to stop the monster. Like he has any knowledge of this. I'm not really sure.
Well, he's got the magic coin.
Is the magic coin giving him information as well?
We don't know what it does and doesn't do.
It is not clear what the magic coin does.
It's not clear what Godzilla can and can't do.
He can fire lasers out of his mouth and destroy jets.
Godzilla's size and his scale seems to change quite a bit, too.
Mm-hmm. And no one dies. Look how that fighter pilot guy ejected.
Yeah. No, they explicitly say at one point in the comic book that there have been no fatalities.
Yeah, look at
that.
Godzilla,
I'm sure that was
clean.
A note. See, this is why...
Everyone in the boat, though.
See, Mike, this is why you wouldn't have written this comic. Because you would have gotten all these notes back that you have to rewrite it so that this guy didn't die, so that nobody died, so nothing was damaged.
How much did they pay me?
It's a comic book in 1983.
If they're paying me, like...
At all?
If they're paying me, like, I'm going to write it the way they want me to write it. I don't care.
All right, well, hopefully the chance will come again. Get that sequel off the ground.
All right, I'll write it.
So Charles Barkley is hanging out with his buddies, like his entourage.
Uh-huh.
And Matthew shows up, and he goes off a ramp on his skateboard and lands in Charles Barkley's arms, which would get you sent to prison nowadays.
He does a somersault too. And a guy with a ponytail is like, stop that kid.
Yeah, there's this whole crew around Charles Barkley that keep telling him you have to go to the Optimist Club. You have other things that you have to do. They keep mentioning the Optimists Club.
Yeah. I think that's a trap.
Yeah.
It seems like it. Like they're all part of a group that wants to harm Charles Barkley, and they're trying to lead him to a place where like they're going to entrap him.
They're really aggressive about it. They're
I would
really
make
insistent.
Me not want to go.
Yeah, well, as we can see, he gets very frustrated with them.
Mm-hmm. And then we see old Purple Pants' giant bulge some more.
Oh, that's one of his crew. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
See, now, if I'm Charles Barkley, I'm not hiring a guy with a bigger penis than me.
Yeah, but he's a lot taller.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
and
that's
Charles can hide his penis in his basketball shorts.
Yeah, he can just claim that, you know, it's massive, but, you know, I have to wear these baggy shorts.
With the shorts, you know, I'm a basketball player.
That's what I got to do. That's what I got to do. Barkley goes over to Matthew and he crouches down and he says, what's going on? And apparently Barkley is not aware of this Godzilla issue yet.
Nope. Doesn't know what's going on
at all. Not know that there's a 300-foot monster rampaging, just a few yards down. Matthew's trying to tell him like, no, I got this coin and everything. And you gotta go, you're Earth's greatest warrior or something like that. And you gotta go fight Godzilla. And finally, by appealing to his ego, that's how they finally get Charles Barkley to consider it. Because up until this point, Barkley's kind of up his own ass to the point that he's not even sure if he wants to stop Godzilla.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's kind of Godzilla neutral. He can see a lot of potential good in what Godzilla might do by destroying this area.
No, it's going to interfere with his game.
Does he have a game coming up? Or just in general?
I imagine always. Or his game in general is his game.
Oh, he might not be on his game anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he considers this. And then he decides to fire his whole crew, which, all right, I guess.
They're like, oh, no, our plan is ruined.
Yeah, our plan to do whatever weird thing we were going to do when we got him into the Optimist Club.
Right, he didn't even fire him because he suspected anything.
No, he didn't know anything was wrong.
He's like, get out of here, man. This kid's going to help me fight Godzilla.
You guys are just annoying.
He didn't fire Big Dick Man.
No, that guy stays. Oh,
that is his name, Big Dickman.
And here
by
we
the way.
See the profile photo that we're going to use.
Yep, that's a pretty good picture of yeah. Charles Barkley.
Pretty photorealistic.
Oh, this so, next one's good too. Shit.
It's a lot. The man is very charismatic.
Like every image of Charles Barkley is usable.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this next page also somehow seems to support that Charles Barkley is one of those coin nerds.
Yeah. Yeah, he might be a coin boy.
Because he knows it's an 1889 Morgan Silver dollar in
hell
fine
yeah.
condition.
I bet yeah. he's just like, make me look real smart in this comic book. They're like, okay, make me know about coins and stuff.
You know, it's kind of unrealistic, Mr. Barkley.
They're like, okay, yeah, but people think I'm real smart if I know about coins. They're like, all right. Like, let's just make it about magic coin. That's how he's able to fight Godzilla since we got to put it in here anyway.
It's just a couple panels, whatever.
And Mike Barron's like, I don't care. This is going to help me pay my rent.
So Charles Barkley is driving away with Matthew riding shotgun. His grandpa's gone, by the way.
Gone. So, gone. He's away with a stranger.
So grandpa has lost eyes on the boy.
What if they like Charles Barkley pushed the grandfather down? He's like, yeah. I got the coin now, old man. This is my grandson.
It's what this whole thing has been a scam for him to get an 1889 Morgan Silver dollar.
He's like, wow, you're my new grandpa? I sure am, kid.
Charles Barkley was like 25 years old at the time.
Dude, don't be telling Charles Barkley what he can and can't do.
Yeah. His sperm is just that powerful that he was able to have a grandson just that quickly.
Dude, he looks 40 though. Like guys back then in their 20s, like, even the Chicago Bulls, like they didn't look like they were in their 20s.
You know what? He looked 40 when he was in his 20s, but he still looks 40 in his 60s.
Yeah.
So,
he's always Charles Barkley.
Maybe that's not the worst. Yeah, he was born that way.
Damn, James, he's taller than you.
Yeah, he's
six. Oh god, James, now you have to hate him.
6 maybe?
Yep.
I do. Yeah, this is why I hate basketball, because every single person taller than me is just
you got to go fight him.
I mean, I'm gonna. Look, there's a long list of people who are taller than me. Not that long though, and they're all on the enemies list for sure. They're
You're
all
in the top. Like what? Like what percentage of people are over 6 feet tall?
I don't know. I'd have to check on that.
I think it's like only like 10%.
It's very few, and then when you get to like 6'6" or something like that. There's like a 1 in 5 chance statistically that you're in the NBA. Like that's how rare it is. It's pretty
wow.
Crazy.
Yeah. Or you're the great Khali and you're wrestling.
Yeah. All great paths to take in life.
Mm-hmm. So, Charles Barkley should have done that after his NBA career ended.
Speaking of great paths, they decide, or rather Matthew decides, that we have to pull over and play some b-ball before anything happens.
Yep.
We just got to.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I play with Charles Barkley while I got you.
There is really no explanation for why that happens other than it is Charles Barkley. When is this ever going to happen again? You know, you're just not going to have a chance. And so he goes, all right, I'll play you for that silver dollar. You know, and if you win, I'll give you the silver dollar because you really, really want that shit. And apparently you can't buy it with your millions.
Yeah, and the kid notes, like, you don't care if Godzilla destroys the city, so what's it fucking matter?
That's a good point.
Like, I don't know, kid. I just like doing whatever random stuff comes to mind sometimes.
Yeah, he's living life one day at a time.
What is
like,
what he wants
to do right now?
He's like, hey, kid, I'll play for the coin. And he goes, okay. And he starts playing. He checks him real hard, real quick, immediately, and just takes the coin from him, just bounces the ball
against
his face.
He is much bigger than him. He is much bigger, and he separated him from his protective grandfather.
Yeah. He just
that's what a good bully does.
And then he just leaves him. He like leaves him there with a broken nose.
Charles Barkley is the real monster here. He's
here
done a great job.
Charles Barkley spinning a ball also would be a perfectly good profile for Darkseid's couch.
Dude, yes. In the 90s when you would do, because we saw like Super Pro and we saw Kickers Inc. in the 80s, just you combine sports and comics and it just is ridiculous for some reason. I don't know why.
Look at Charles Barkley's face as he spins the ball and he says, want to take it out?
That tells a whole story.
See, it looks
own.
Like he should be saying, stop it, get some help.
He's asking you to take your dick out at the party. Yeah.
At the party. I like that addendum.
He's
there.
Looking at the reader, by the way. He's not
he's
looking
like,
at Matthew.
No,
he's looking
he
at
wants
you.
You he to wants pull your you. Dick out for Charles Barkley.
You can't finish reading this book without your dick out.
And then when you take your dick out, it goes, Barkley!
That's what that was, huh? All right. was about to go to the urologist.
And look, money's involved as well.
Yeah, so they decide they're going to flip this coin to see who goes first, and it lands on its side. It lands on the edge.
I saw this Twilight Zone.
Yeah. And so Charles Barkley goes, all right, I'll give it a whirl. Flipping a coin. Who fucking says, all right, fine.
But as soon as he touches the coin, he grows to gargantuan size, shoes and socks and all.
Everything, including the basketball. Very important that the basketball was in his hand when this happened, when it was under his
arm. We don't know how coin physics worked, though, so we're just speaking ignorantly.
Well, magical coin physics, sure.
Sure.
It's not, this isn't a typical coin.
We were told that it was a magical coin with magical properties.
Several times it was made very clear to us that there were magical properties involved. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Now all of a sudden Charles Barkley figures, I guess I might as well fight Godzilla now that I'm as tall as him. Why not?
Mm-hmm. He goes, this will make up for my loss to the Bulls at the NBA championships games.
Make up for all the terrible things I've done.
Do you think Barkley didn't want to fight Godzilla initially because he knew he'd lose?
I think he didn't want to fight him initially because he knew he couldn't grow to gargantuan size, and he was just a guy.
I mean, really, what was the plan in this kid's mind without Charles Barkley growing to gargantuan size? What was the plan for him to stop Godzilla?
He just knew the coin would help somehow.
Yeah.
Dude, look at Godzilla's tri-pec.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting look.
Yeah.
Dude. Is that normally how he's depicted?
Dude, I don't know, but they made him swole.
Yeah, so yeah, he's got two massive pecs and then another one in the middle. There's a little extra space there.
Dude, look at that. That guy don't skip leg day.
Oh, God, he's massive. Dude. For a giant lizard, he's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Like, relatively speaking.
That tri-pec. It looks like he's wearing a scaly Speedo and he has a giant dick.
Yeah. Almost as giant as that other guy.
Yeah, that other guy. Purple pants.
Yeah, yeah. It's a close race.
This here's my bodyguard, Purple Pants.
So, speaking of funny names, we've got Janet Planet from KQED News in the KQED News copter flying by.
Damn it, Janet Planet.
Typical liberal media. Got to get in and get the scoop. And so she is she's reporting on this.
Well, that's all media, though.
No.
Like, all media has to get the scoop. Like, that's their job.
No, you can just make things up. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to report in the news if you just make stuff up.
Dude, so thank God for AI.
Yeah, just make it up news.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be so much easier to make things up.
Yeah, that's how I check news in the morning. I just have the AI generate some fake news for me.
Yeah, for you, and then you're like, oh, I'm glad everything's going so well.
That makes me feel good about the world.
Yeah.
Smog is gone. It's gone.
Yeah, all smog is gone. What you're smelling now is not that.
Nope, it's something else that's good for you. Like, it's got vitamins in it.
If that was my dad, would believe it because it's on the news. He believes everything that's on the
news. Oh, yes. There's a popular thing of
what,
like,
what news is he watching?
Just like local news. He doesn't have cable, he doesn't have a computer. So, like, whatever is on the evening news on like Channel 9 or whatever is where he's getting his information.
There's a popular thing of making AI images that are kind of like boomer bait and then just seeing if the boomers respond to it and believe it. And they always do every time.
Good. I'm so glad.
And so somebody finally figured, well, here's the way that we can finally get these boomers to realize that these images aren't real. And they made a series of AI images of Trump and Biden, like, hanging out like best friends, or like baking a cake together and everything. And it finally got them to realize, hey, wait a minute, these might not be real. That's what it took.
It's like, so hard for them to believe that they could do stuff and just hang out together.
They're probably good friends behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Take a nice vacation in
China.
There you go. That's a good place to go.
I mean, they could give us AI Godzilla and just put it on the news and tell us it's real.
Yeah, I'll believe it. Whatever. I just want to be excited.
Yeah, me too. I want to feel good again.
Yeah. And that's what it takes. If it takes Godzilla rampaging through the city, it's fine. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So now we finally get a big page of giant Charles Barkley walking up to giant Godzilla. And they say he's 300 feet, but judging by the nearby buildings, he's nowhere near 300 feet.
And he calls Godzilla a sorry suitcase-looking sucker.
He uses that insult a couple times. He mentions that Godzilla's skin makes him look like a suitcase.
Yeah, I mean, he does.
I guess it was kind of his big joke, you know.
Mm-hmm. And so Charles Barkley decides to talk to a helicopter.
He talks to the helicopter, which I imagine the vibrations from him talking to this helicopter would just knock the helicopter out of the sky.
There's no way either of them could hear each other.
No. In fact, I assume that you know, Charles Barkley, when he scaled up to size, the pressure would have just killed him immediately.
Yeah,
he would just collapse and died.
He's got the power of the magic.
Magic.
Coin, bro. Yeah, magic. Not real.
What part of magic did you miss?
He tells Janet Planet, yeah, I'm going to challenge Godzilla to a game of b-ball in order to get him away from the city, because it's a well-known fact, or a little-known fact, actually, that Godzilla is a sucker for b-ball.
Uh-huh. No, he's not.
That's not true at all.
So, like, to get him to play, he chucks the ball at Godzilla's head.
He bonks it right off his face, and Godzilla responds with a grrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr good. And then, Godzilla torches some things and shows his general destruction, his general capacity for destruction.
And so he's like shooting his beam, and Charles Barkley says, "You ever hear a mouthwash?" And Godzilla goes, "I am Swish."
See, he just wanted to be called Swish. He didn't like the name Godzilla.
He goes, "Oh,
like
hell,
the Nike logo."
That's a swoosh.
Oh my God, that is so close though. That is more of those crazy Dark Side's couch. Coincidences.
Well, I did open this episode talking about my boy Barley, and then since then we've been talking about my other boy Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. It always happens that way.
Didn't bring up Barbie yet.
Did not bring up Barbie.
Hopefully Barbie
boys.
Swept the Oscars, I hope.
I don't think she...
I don't know who won. I just know Godzilla won.
I don't know if Barbie honestly won any.
Why? Mm-hmm. All the other movies are boring.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying I agreed with it.
I watched Oppenheimer. That was a snooze fest.
Yeah, Oppenheimer's great.
The best movie of 2023 was Aquaman 2.
Mm-hmm. It came out too late in the year, though, unfortunately. So it can't be eligible until next year's Oscars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a cutoff date.
That explains it. That's why.
Yeah, I'm just going to sweep
it. Why I wasn't there.
Big, big sweep. So anyway, Barkley says, "All right, we're going to head out to the Scarf Air Force Base." Because I think we could probably. He says, "I know a place that we can play." I'm not sure why he would know it. Why would you know a place?
I mean, nowadays that'd be more believable because he would just check his phone.
Yeah, I'll look up a place. I'll find a place.
Mm-hmm. No, he apparently knew about this test facility.
Mm-hmm. They tell all the NBA players about the test facilities.
Yeah, that's the first thing they tell you.
And they're on a text thread.
Yes. And so they're going to an Air Force base, and they look at the shuttle scaffold that, you know, holds the rocket as it's taking off. Mm-hmm. And perfectly, it has essentially a basketball rim up at the top of it. So
yeah, why they built that? In case this very scenario happens.
It could.
Obviously.
Godzilla preparedness is a real thing, especially when you live on the coasts.
If there's any chance that an NBA player comes across a magic coin to grow to the size of Godzilla, we must be ready.
Well, they didn't know that exact scenario, but something close to it.
And there was one guy who yelling that out is like right now in base, and he has his arms folded and he's looking all superior to everyone else. Like, yeah, this is why we do this.
We're going to provide a lot of jobs with this stupid plan.
That guy's getting promoted.
But you know what? It wasn't the rim was not in position. So yep, Barkley still had to jump up there and wrench it down into position. So
Now it's regulation.
So, all right, they're going to have themselves a little game here. And the whole point of this was to get everybody, to get Godzilla away from the city. But it seems that people are actually coming to see the competition between Godzilla and Barkley, kind of ruining the whole point of the thing.
I mean, who cares? I'm sure he'd prefer to have an audience. Luckily, Godzilla knows the rules of basketball.
Well, again, he does care about the sport. He respects the game. So, they begin their... I keep wanting to call it a fight. It's not really a fight.
No, they're playing one on one, but they're fouling a little bit. Godzilla smacks Charles Barkley in the face
with his
tail.
What the hell?
You know, there's never been a tail involved in basketball except for
basketball.
There's nothing in the rule book that says a tail can't play basketball.
You guys all know about donkey basketball, right?
Let's just say no.
Let's just look up real quick donkey basketball. Just go ahead, because it is. It is very silly that it exists.
Is it when they're on donkeys? Like I've heard of it. Yeah, they're on donkeys. Yeah,
dude,
they are.
Dude, my school did that once.
Why only once?
Because it's just donkeys shitting everywhere. Hey, guys, having to ride the donkeys.
They don't don't know. They're going to do what they got to do.
Dude. Look at these guys. These are the kinds of people. Look, that's the kind of person who does this.
I mean, this is, you got to make your own entertainment in a small town.
I guess. In a small town.
Try that in a small town. Man, that song's about donkey
country
basketball.
Guys are all like really proud of their small town, and pop punk guys want to leave their small town.
But what about Springsteen?
He was critical of his small town, but he was still there.
No, he was pretty. He had some fond memories of his town.
And a small town.
And then now he lives 15 minutes away from where he grew up.
Does he? Like
he basically just went right back. He made a big point of saying, I'm leaving this town. Fuck this. And yeah, made tremendous amounts of money and then just moved back.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, like a, what is it, salmon that swim back upstream to die where they respawned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow, really?
That's what we should all do.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to Bristol.
What memory does, like, what part of the brain does that?
I don't know, the most based one. The most melancholic solitude
the
one.
The most Bon Jovi of them all.
Yeah, the Bon Joviest.
All right, so they're having this game. It's an even match. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very evenly matched. I didn't know Godzilla was this versatile. Mm-hmm. You've never really see him lift his arms up, so you really wouldn't think he would have the shots. But
oh, he's all CGI now.
Yeah, that's
sure his arms move all kinds of places. It's not just a guy in a foam suit.
Now, and then we've got this big double page splash of the game. Mm-hmm. And Barkley's finally taking control of the game. But we've got a whole crowd that's gathered to watch. And they've got signs up that says, Go Charles.
Yep,
and
they had that ready to go.
Matthew and his grandpa are there. But if you didn't notice, there's a few celebrities in the crowd, too.
Yeah, there's Jack Nicholson.
There's Jack Nicholson. I don't know who this woman is. You can see it on the video. But
There's Rush Limbaugh.
I think that might be Rush Limbaugh, yeah. This woman has definitely got to be somebody. And then over here, you've got Oprah. And then, oh, no.
Oh, Bill Cosby.
Oh, Bill Cosby.
I didn't even notice any of this.
You didn't notice any of that?
No, I skipped over because I was looking at Charles Barkley's face, which also would be an excellent profile.
Yeah,
picture.
It's pretty crazy. It's a strange thing to see now with them just kind of just celebrating Bill Cosby like you want him hanging out there.
Maybe I should use that as a profile.
Well, what's weird about this, though, is this panel, they originally had a bunch more 90s people in it, but I guess, I don't know, Dark Horse saw the art and they figured it might not age well or something. So they tried to preemptively like get themselves out of trouble.
They drew nips on that lady.
Yeah,
They did. Thank you, Shay.
Nips exist.
But they edited the original art. And this is actually the less problematic version. I found the original art. You're not going to believe this here.
You found it?
The original art. We've got Osama bin Laden's there, Ellen DeGeneres, Kevin Spacey,
O.J. Simpson.
Of course, O.J. I really do think it's time we let O.J. off the hook. But yeah, they tried to make it a little less problematic.
Dang.
Yeah.
I like how he's looking directly at us.
Which one? They're all.
Osama and Kevin Spacey especially. Kevin Spacey looks like he's disappointed in us.
They know they're in a comic. They can see us.
Ellen, what she did was nowhere near as bad as the other ones.
As far as we know.
And that's about, yeah, I'm sure they'll come out.
Yeah. I'm just as preemptive. Wait till next year.
We're getting you early.
I want to be the first person to cancel you.
Uh-huh. We're going to be like that comedian that outed Cosby. That became viral.
Hannibal Buress. Everybody in Chicago, because he's a Chicago guy, everybody I know in Chicago has like a Hannibal Buress story, including me.
Oh, really?
My Hannibal Buress story was I put a mic pack on him, and he proceeded to go out on stage, flip around in his chair so aggressively that the mic pack flew off of his body and went across the stage, and the entire production backstage was freaking out about it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, which, by the way, a little bit earlier, I had actually put a similar belt pack on a dancer who went out there and was, like, breakdancing. That belt pack didn't go anywhere.
What did they think was going to happen, though?
That they weren't going to be able to get Hannibal Buress' audio anymore.
I guess,
yeah.
I have a Patton Oswalt story where I just pretended I didn't recognize him.
Yeah, I think you've told that story before. Mm-hmm. He probably liked that. He probably gets harassed all the time.
I imagine. I pretend like I don't recognize anyone.
Yeah.
I never met Hannibal Buress, but I did see him open for Louis C.K.
Oh, rad.
Oh, yeah. What was the opening?
Ha-ha. That was good.
We're having a good time. So, the game continues, and Charles Barkley is going in for a mighty slam dunk, and then Godzilla actually melts the ball into
his hands.
Which would melt his hand. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But instead, Barkley just chastises Godzilla and says, there's no honor in this. You're not respecting the game. And you got to get your shit together because you've got potential.
This is so fucking Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is so zanier than the last comic, James. And you had so many issues with the last comic being zany.
I think this is as zany.
I didn't have issues with it being zany. I had issues with it being zany relative to the Badger in general. Relative
to
other
Badger.
We're
bound to run into something. There's a lot of zany books and serious books.
Well, so, go ahead.
Here Charles Barkley has another ball.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, this is later. That's later.
But he has another giant ball.
Yeah, where did that ball come
from? He sized down, found a regular ball, and then sized back up, holding the ball. Yeah, that's how he did it.
All right.
That makes sense.
I thought maybe that the army base where they were playing at had a spare giant ball
Spare giant ball. Yeah, they might have.
They set up a spare giant basketball hoop for him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they did. Well, we get to that in a second. I do want to call out that they do shit on Chicago here.
Yeah, they
try out with the Bulls, one of those second-rate teams.
Yeah, you know, he just lost to them. Like they were defeated in the finals by the greatest basketball team ever.
Is that the dream team, or is the dream team the Olympics?
Actually, Shay, I don't know. I don't know. It was so long ago.
Yeah, I don't. Who cares?
That was Sears Tower old.
Yeah, the past doesn't matter. The past is stupid,
and probably not real.
Let's forget it.
So they go to a canyon, and Charles Barkley decides to help Godzilla train and recruit him as a potential NBA player in the future.
Yeah, right? That'd be a good choice.
It'd be a good choice, yeah, but also it keeps him occupied, keeps him away from the city. Mm-hmm. So he says, they got him some size 13,000 Triple E sneakers.
Nice.
That was the main thing holding him back.
Just like those ice skates for that buffalo.
Yeah, but Godzilla didn't just fall straight into him. I guess Mike Barron just likes putting monsters and animals in footwear.
I like that, too.
That's just the thing he's into, yeah. And so Barkley tells him, like, do 1 million layups, and I'll check on you, and supposedly this should take about 100 years.
He's going to be so good.
He's going to be fantastic. Well, he's already pretty good, as we see from this panel labeled Godzilla Got Busy.
That should be the name of the episode.
Like, he's already... Yeah, sure. We'll call it Godzilla Got Busy. Who cares? Yeah.
That's a good clickbait.
That is.
He's got his shit together. Well, I mean, Charles Barkley... Who's better clickbait, Charles Barkley or Godzilla?
Godzilla just won the Oscar.
I'm going to assume that this is true.
Yes.
Well, Godzilla won the Oscar for best visual effects. I learned that.
So then we have a little epilogue, and we see Charles Barkley on Epstein's plane,
mm-hmm.
having a great trip.
That was back in the 90s. That was the only plane they rode on.
Wasn't a big deal. Wasn't a big deal yet. I actually heard that Epstein, in order to blackmail some people, had them pose with some of the kids. Not the people that they're posing with didn't know that what was going on. He just wanted to get pictures of them posing with kids so that he could blackmail them later. What a fucking scumbag. Holy cow.
But man, that guy had well thought out plans.
Well, if you're going to do something that atrocious, you need to really plot your steps.
What do they call it? A criminal mastermind? He's like kind of a criminal mastermind. He like blackmailed the people he needed to blackmail.
Yeah.
And I mean, got away with it for years.
Does it maybe go beyond criminal mastermind to just supervillain or just...
Yeah, supervillain. He had an island for the compound where he like... And trap rich people and influencers and politicians and shit.
Yeah, it's hard to even consider him like a human being. What an absolute monster.
Maniacal.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a bastard. We're anti-Epstein here.
You know what? I'm glad someone took his stand.
Someone. Now, I may ruffle some feathers here.
Yeah, right?
But I'm going to come right out and say it. So anyway... So then we flash down to the streets where Matthew hangs out, and he is playing basketball with a little a ginger boy.
Mm-hmm.
A gross, gross ginger boy.
Yeah, look at his face.
There's another good picture.
That's my actually, face. That's what I look like. That's what all ginger boys look like.
Good Lord.
Yep.
His faces.
Yeah,
that kid also has a white tongue.
Dude, look at that kid. Yeah, that's us.
He's got some kind of disease.
That's right, because being a ginger is a terrible mutation.
It's a terrible disease.
This is a mute boy.
And they're arguing because apparently Matthew has told people that he knows Shaq and that he can swish that ball.
Charles Barkley.
God damn it, I got shade. I got shade right at the end there.
Yeah!
He's like, you're the one who can't tell the athletes apart, James.
Yeah, I can't.
You're athlete blind.
I can't.
Well, it's okay, because they talk about trying to make a bet with a dollar, and the kid says, I don't have a dollar, and then Steve Harvey shows up with a dollar.
Yeah. he's got that smile.
Charles Barkley just got off the set of Miami Vice.
Yeah, seriously, he's wearing an all-white suit.
He is not wearing socks. There's no way.
A blue T-shirt. No.
He made up for all the scenes of him wearing his athletic gear with his big socks.
I think they also made him thinner than he actually is.
No, he was always kind of a fat guy.
Yeah, he's a little
beefer. They made him like crazy jagged.
Yeah.
Well, let's look it up. Let's look up Charles Barkley, 90s NBA or something. Oh, right, donkey basketball.
How about that donkey basketball tab again?
Dude, donkey basketball's crazy.
Let's
see. Who thought of that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bored hill folk.
Yeah, him with his arms stretched out, that's probably the best look of how we'll see.
Well,
how...
and again, as we
good
said, when you're
Lord,
that...
Good Lord, he's gigantic.
You're gigantic. When you're that gigantic, you can't get jacked.
Dude, he's gigantic. Look
you
at him.
You just got to settle. You got to settle for just being gigantic.
You forget how big Michael Jordan was, too. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Barkley played for the Sixers after but the Phoenix Suns. I forgot about that.
Dude, you know way too much jockey stuff about this.
I watched basketball growing up, and I played basketball.
All right. So Barkley shows up to let this ginger kid know that he actually does know Matthew. Look at the smug look on Matthew's face, by the way.
Yeah.
Shitty and gray.
He's doing it because he's farting on the ginger kid.
Oh. Oh, you mean he's doing one of these?
Yeah. He is. He's pointing his butt at him, his little butt. You'd think he wouldn't need to prove it because, like, he helped Charles Barkley become gigantic and play a game of basketball with Godzilla, and everyone saw it.
Nobody saw the part with him talking to Charles Barkley, though.
Yeah, but you think Charles? We think when they interview Barkley afterwards, he'd be like,
"Hell
this
no!
This kid gave me a magic coin." Or do you think he was just like, "I got big on my own"?
He ain't telling anybody how it happened.
I decided to become big and save America.
Does the coin count as steroids?
No, because it comes from God.
Yeah, he couldn't inject that coin.
No.
Lord knows he tried.
You wouldn't inject a coin.
So Charles Barkley gives the coin back to Matthew, and Matthew immediately swishes the basket, and then this ginger kid has to give Matthew a dollar, and he's got the sorriest look on his face.
Yes!
And that's the story. That's how
Charles
that ends.
Barkley takes the dollar and leaves. Well, I think I earned the dollar more than you.
Well, he'll invest it better.
I don't know why I enjoy this so much, but the fact the little kid's dollar's all crumpled up just makes me really happy.
He's got a shitty little kid dollar.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. It clearly was just wadded up in his pocket.
Fucking idiot
name.
Kids.
Shitty little kid dollar. That's a good band name.
Trademark.
It's barely even worth stealing from him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the emotional damage is why it's worth stealing from him.
Yeah. You mostly do it for the trauma.
Because that kid really needs that dollar.
His ill-fitting clothes and his stupid white tongue.
And Barkley showing up in his Miami Vice gear and takes his dollar. What if he takes it out and then says to him, I don't know nobody, and leaves?
Love him.
What if he goes, I hear you've been going around talking about me. He starts roughing the kid up a little bit, shaking him around.
Got a lot more love for Charles
Keep
Barkley.
Keep your mouth shut. I got big on my own.
I didn't tell anybody anything.
I don't want to hear nothing about no coin.
And he's just shaking his shoulders violently. Dude, I didn't
Give me that
say
dollar.
Anything.
Give me that magic dollar. Kids, he thinks in his head now, kids with money, like the money is magic.
All kids' money is magic. You know what? We don't cover how he got small again.
He's taking
we'll never find
the,
out.
He's taking the money from kids like he's Thanos collecting the Infinity Stones.
Yeah. Needs all them dollars. Yeah, that's the end of the story. You know, what do we think?
This was great. Happy birthday, Jay Miller. Thank you very much for asking for this. I was so excited when I saw that on Twitter. I'm like, oh my God, I have to look for this immediately.
Shay, what'd you think of this?
Happy birthday, Jay.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jay. Well,
very political of you. Yeah. You're like a little RFK Jr.
Yeah, it is pretty terrible. 2 out of 5 swishes. That's a much more satisfying sound.
I was expecting the other swish, the swish from my childhood, children spitting.
Oh.
Oh, well, I didn't know that was going to happen.
I know. That's why I was like, how did he do that so fast?
All right. Well, yeah. Happy birthday, Jay Miller. Mm-hmm. Thanks for giving us a very clickbaity book to put up.
Yep. A lot better than what The Wheel gives us. Jesus.
Well, I don't want to speak ill of The Wheel.
No, you're right. There it is.
Speaking of The Wheel looming, it does have a couple new entries. We did have a couple new requests. Let's see what I got here. We got Marvel Supervillain Team Up number 17 requested from Landon.
Oh, hey, and, Landon.
Hey, Landon. And Born Too Late, who also made us that kicking spinning wheel playlist that we'll be coming back to soon. Mm-hmm. He requested, I'm going to assume it's a he because, come on. Who's women don't want anything to do with this.
Some women listen to the show.
Do we have some cultured women who understand the value of the show? But yeah.
Yeah. Oh God, who made Winona Ryder? Nicole, right?
Nicole made
the Winona Ryders for me.
But that's Jay's wife, though. So
oh my
like
goodness.
She's a separate woman outside of being a wife.
Could be a situation where he's just like, we're listening to the show. This is the thing I like. And she's trying to keep her husband happy.
Can we try to focus on Winona Ryder's rack, please, though?
We sure can. What a lovely woman. I liked her even more when she started stealing stuff.
Yeah, that was really when she came into her own.
I mean, that's when she was like, damn, what an awesome lady. And then she went on that award show and she was high and started acting crazy. She
was probably dealing with a lot of, like, that's probably a traumatic time for her.
That sounds, I don't know, man. It just made me like her even more. And she was filming that show for kids at the same time.
Yeah. Well, anyway, at any rate, Born Too Late requested Animal Man number 71, which I know I've read it. I've read that entire run from the 80s and 90s. I just don't know which issue that is, but it's definitely fucking bonkers. I can say that for sure. So those things are on the wheel. It might come up this time. Most likely it's going to be that Punisher, McBaron Punisher thing, though.
If I have my magic silver dollar, it will.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of stuff on there. I still want, there's a couple of Young Love issues on there that I would love to come up.
I would love Your Vote is Vital, which I now remember to say properly.
Your Vote is Vital. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on there. Another issue of Strange Sports is on there.
Do you have any Star Trek on there? Let's do some Star Trek. Yeah, there he is. There I see.
Is there a little Star Trek on there? The Star brand, whatever the fuck that is. Mm-hmm. DP7. Mm-hmm. So many good.
There's about 7 DPs.
Yeah, Phase 1 phasers, all sorts of good options. And then we're just going to get some Superman shit.
Yep.
So
it's good for us, actually.
Yeah, it's not the worst. Those are consistently, the Superman and Batman books are the highest.
No worries.
Yeah, that's what people say. This is actually, listen to a little spinning music. This is from Mike. This is Don McLean. Don McLean Dreidel.
Oh.
I feel like a spinning top or a dreidel. The spinning don't stop when you leave the cradle. You just slow down. Round and around this world you go. Spinning through the lives of the people you know. We all slow down.
There you go.
So I risked my life to get this song to James because I use a flip phone and not a smartphone. So I was listening to the radio in my car while driving on the freeway, and I had to quickly text it to James or I was going to forget.
Wow. I mean, you know you could just, like, open up a note on your phone.
Yeah, but I still have to type into that.
All right. I guess you could have pulled over to the side of the road safely, but
no.
All right. Listen, I'm not gonna question your methods. It got us content, and that's all that matters. We can spin to it.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
And we're going to do that right now. Let's see what it is.
So many things.
So antsy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be bad, isn't it? Actually.
All right. Unexpected.
Unexpected. It's Metamorpho issue 4.
Mm.
Let's see. Was that a request or was that just something we put on there?
Maybe something that's just been there for a while.
Yeah, it's just on that list.
Oh, this is actually found by Old Comics.
Oh, hey, all right.
So it's kind of, I don't know if Old Comics actually requested it.
Is that Old Comics found this? Looks racist as shit. Sorry, Shay. Ooh, that's what the note says.
It's from 1966. However, Metamorpho is not a problematic character.
Nope,
so let's take a look at the cover.
We'll see.
See what the cover is.
All right, nothing bad.
It says, Karumba, look who's south of the border. It's Metamorph for the elephant.
No.
Element Man. Elephant Man.
Bad.
Oh, I see the rest of the image
now. Oh,
no. For sure. All right, perfect.
This isn't necessarily bad.
No, not yet. We'll find out.
Yeah.
This is make Shay uncomfortable bad, but mm-hmm. this is not Miss Liberty. We need to reformat an episode yet.
Yeah, we don't legitimately do problematic books.
Holy shit,
I mean, why would old comics send this to me if it was really bad?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so for anyone who doesn't know, Metamorpho is the Element Man, and he is made up of... he can turn his body into any element. Mm-hmm. And so he's made up of different elements and then just on his different limbs. It's a very colorful character. He's currently being played by, what is his name, Anthony Carrigan?
The guy from Barry.
From Barry in Gotham. He's shooting Superman right now as Metamorpho. Rex Mason, also a member of The Terrifics, which is a book I really enjoyed by Jeff Lemire a few years ago. So.
Man, how long is that Superman movie going to be?
2-ish hours. We'll see.
Because it's like, how are they going to introduce and explain who all these people are?
How do you, you don't necessarily need to get into depth in them. When you watch any movie, there's like 20 characters.
I guess that's true. But we don't have to, but usually there's regular people and you can identify with having parents and going to school.
I think you'll figure it out pretty quickly.
Like Metamorpho is going to need a complicated origin story to figure out why he can be all the elements.
Well, the Suicide Squad had a bunch of different characters
in there,
and that worked.
You're right.
It's just all in the writing. It's just, it's not all necessarily going to be like Bane and Batman and Robin,
I mean, James Gunn is good at handling multiple characters.
I guess so.
It'll be fine. I'm not worried. I just want to see Metamorpho.
Yeah, me too.
I'm very excited. All right. We will next time. We will. I don't think we've ever looked at Metamorpho. I've tried to.
I don't think so either.
Because he was in The Outsiders, and I put an Outsiders book on the wheel as well, and it hasn't come up yet. Metamorpho, the Elephant. Calling him the Elephant Man.
Let's call it that. I'm going to change it in all the promo art.
Sure.
Metamorpho,
the Elephant Man.
And I'm going to give him a trunk.
Yeah, might as well. That's not a problem. That's a cute, wholesome one. That's not problematic at all. I like that.
No, it'll be fine.
So yeah, he's heading south of the border and he gets into some mischief and who knows what happens, but it was the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about it.
Me too.
I'm excited.
I am as well.
Shay, give us some plugs.
All right. You can listen to any of our episodes on any sort of podcast and find even more stuff on DarkSidesCouch.com. You can also follow Dark Sides Couch on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, Discord, YouTube. And feel free to leave comments on all of those places wishing a happy birthday to Jay and to hit the like and subscribe on all of the things as well.
Mm-hmm. I think you said on any sort of podcast.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
You'll hear it when you're editing.
So, happy birthday, Jay. Let's do the Metamorpho of the Elephant Man, wherever I can just grind that joke into the dirt.
Happy birthday, Metamorpho. Happy birthday, mm-hmm. Jay Miller. And happy mm-hmm. birthday to you, listener.
Mm-hmm. It's probably your birthday.
Or listen to it on your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to this episode on your birthday and
note.
Think we're talking to you.
Yeah, make a note.
And it'll be nice. You're going to enjoy that.
Put it in your phone as an
alert. All right. Yeah, let Google remind you to listen to this episode on your birthday.
Uh-huh.
You got nothing else going on.
You sure don't. On your birthday, no less.
Anybody got any final comments?
I realize I have to step up my b-ball game.
Yeah. You're not going to be able to handle Godzilla. You can't handle his wrath.
Or I need to take more children's money.
Shay.
Metamorpho Power Rangers.
Ta-ta for now, Christian Crusaders. We'll talk to you next time on the couch.
Because it's like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Mighty Morpho. Mighty Metamorpho Power Rangers.
I should have made a joke about why Taylor Swift is so powerful because she takes children's money.
I'm sure the opportunity will come up again.
Swish.
Swish.
Hey, it's my lunch money.
I'm not paid to be a role model.